Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Men, Betim, and Aleph by the two dots. Gemara here is discussing the placement of cold water into hot water, and hot water into cold water. Gemara brings a braita, Tan Rabbanan, Noten Adam Chamim, Letoch Atzonein. First, we put hot water into cold water. Velo Atzonein, Letoch Chamim. On the other hand, one may not put cold water into hot water, Divrei Beit Shammai. That is the position of Beit Shammai. The way Rashi explains this part, according to Beit Shammai, is that the Braita here believes in a concept called tata'a gavar, that whatever is on the bottom determines the heat conduction of two mixtures. So if the bottom or the liquid that is found in place is hot, then that will determine what happens to another liquid that comes in there, and it will make everything hot. On the other hand, if the liquid that's in place at the bottom and you're pouring hot water into cold, the cold water will dictate because tata'a gavar, the lower one, always overcomes, and therefore it'll cool the water down. So if you want to know whether pouring water cold or hot into another item, is it that the cold water is now being heated by the hot water, or is it the hot water is being cooled down by the cold water, you look at whatever is on the bottom. So if the water at the bottom is cold, then whatever is being poured in is being cooled. On the other hand, if what's on the bottom is hot, then whatever is being poured in is being heated. And based on that, Beit Shammai says that a person in a kli rishon, this is a kli rishon that can be mevashel, that can cook, if he puts hot into cold, it's fine, because the cold water will cool the hot water down. But on the other hand, lo atzonein letoch chamin, one may not put cold water into the hot, because the lower hot water will cook the cold water as it comes into it, and that's the position of Beit Shammai. Now, Beit Shammai believes that a person can put hot water from a kli rishon into cold water, and on the other side, he says, even by a kli sheni, one may not put tzonein, cold water, into hot water. Beit Hillel, on the other hand, Beit Hillel argues on the second half of Beit Shammai's statement, which is, ben chamin letoch tzonein, or ben tzonein letoch chamin. Whether it's hot water into cold, whether it's cold water into hot, mutar. That is allowed. Now, b'mei d'varamim bekos. That's only true in a cup which is clearly a kli sheni over here. Beit Hillel only argues on Beit Shammai's premise that when you pour cold water into hot, that it's restricted even by a kli sheni. Beit Hillel says that's not true. By kli sheni, that is fine. So Beit Hillel will agree to Beit Shammai that when we're talking about a kli rishon, over there you can put hot water into cold, but you cannot put cold water into hot. Because according to Rashi, tata'a gavar, whatever's on the bottom determines whether it's being heated or it's being cooled down. So in the case where the bottom is hot water, then it's cooking because it's heating it up. On the other hand, if the bottom is cold water, then it's cooling it down and it's permitted. In a kli sheni, Beit Shammai says we are gozer. In kli sheni, that you also may not put cold water into hot, even though technically it doesn't cook. But nevertheless, because it's similar in nature to having hot water in a kli rishon where it's not permitted, we will not allow it by a kli sheni. And Beit Hillel says that's not the case. We are not gozer by a kli sheni, by a kos, and we allow you to pour the cold water into the hot water of a kli sheni. That is the way that Rashi explains it. Tosafot disagrees, and he says that this braita has nothing to do with what's called tata'ak gavar or ila gavar. Whether whatever is on top or on the bottom dictates what's transpiring with the meeting of two objects, one cold, one hot, but rather the braita is premised, according to Rabbeinu Tam, on the fact that whatever is in the bottom or whatever is in place is much larger. And that is, you tend to pour smaller items into larger items. And therefore, Beit Shammai says, you can put hot water into cold water, because if the cold water is in place, that means there's a lot more cold water. By pouring hot water into it, it's clear that you're just cooling off the hot water. You are not cooking the cold water that's in place. On the other hand, if there is a lot of hot water in place and you're pouring cold water into it, then clearly the cold water is being cooked by the hot water in place. Now, that's true by a kli rishon. Beit Shammai says, even by kli sheni, we have a large amount of hot water in the bottom and you pour cold water into it, it's restricted. Again, a gzeirah, because we know that a kli sheni is not mevashel. On the other hand, Beit Hillel comes along and says, no, that's not true. By a kos, by a kli sheni, one can even pour a small amount of cold water into a large amount of hot water. Aval ba'ambati, if it's a bath, then chamin letoch tzonein, then one may only pour hot water into cold, velo tzonein letoch chamin, but not cold water into hot. Now, the way Rashi reads it, as well as the Tosfot HaRosh and other Rishonim, that here we're talking about a kli rishon, basically telling us that Beit Hillel agrees to Beit Shammai's position when it comes to a kli rishon. Now, Bati, which we saw before, was a kli rishon, and what we explained the beginning of this braita, we're talking about a kli rishon. In that case, both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that one can pour hot water into cold, but not cold water into hot. According to Rashi, the reason is because Tata Gavar, whatever's on the bottom, dictates. Therefore, pouring cold water into hot is problematic, whereas pouring hot into cold is okay. And again, that's both according to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. On the other hand, Tosafot believes the reason is that there's a larger quantity at the bottom. And therefore, both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that when there's a large quantity of hot water, then you can pour water from a Kli Rishon into it without a problem because it'll cool it off. On the other hand, if you have a large amount of hot water in a Kli Rishon, you can't pour that cold water in it because it'll cook the cold water. On the other hand, Tosafot himself over here explains that the Ambati here is a Kli Sheni. Aval Ambati in a Kli Sheni, Chamin L'Toch Tzonein, Beit Hillel agrees that when you're pouring in, you can only put in hot water to cold and not cold into hot. The reason being that Ambati looks like it's a Kli Rishon because it's a large area. They heat the water up to a very high temperature. And even though it's a Kli Sheni over here, Beit Hillel will restrict it because it looks like a Kli Rishon. So the way Rashi is reading it simply is that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree by Kli Rishon, and they have a disagreement by Kli Sheni, where Beit Hillel says there's no Gzeira, and Beit Shammai says there is a Gzeira. On the other hand, according to Tosafot, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree by Kli Rishon. Even by Kli Sheni, Beit Hillel only argues on Beit Shammai when we're talking about a kos, a cup, which is a small quantity of water, something that's not heated up so hot. Over there, he says that you can even pour the cold water into the hot water. But if it's a large Kli Sheni, like an Ambati, then even Beit Hillel agrees to Beit Shammai that we're gozer in that case. So that's the different ways to read this piece of the Braita according to Rashi and Tosafot. Now, we have Rabbi Shimon ben Asya Oser. Rabbi Shimon ben Asya says it's problematic. Problematic in an Ambati. When it's an Ambati, you may not even pour Chamin L'Toch Tzonein. You may not even pour hot water into the cold water. Amar Rav Nachman, Alocha k'Rav Shimon ben Asya. The Alocha is like Rav Shimon ben Asya. Sover Rav Yosef le'meimar. Rav Yosef wanted to say, Seifel, a bucket of water, Hari hu k'Ambati, has the same din as a bath. So now, let us understand where it is mutar to utilize these items. Says Rashi points out, number one, when you're talking about a Kli Rishon, we already know that there's a problem in terms of putting cold water into hot. In a Kli Sheni, we said that that is okay, according to Beit Hillel. According to Beit Hillel, one may put cold water into hot water when it is in a Kli Sheni. Along comes Rabbi Yosef and says, wait a minute, why is it by Kli Sheni that we allow this to happen? Is it because it's a Kli Sheni, and therefore it's permissible? Or is it because it's a Kli Sheni plus, not only is it a Kli Sheni, it's a small quantity. Small quantity of water in a cup that is used for drinking, and person will not heat it up to an extreme where it'll be so hot that it looks like it's almost a Kli Rishon. So based on that, Rav Yosef really creates a hierarchy and says, if it's a Kli Rishon, then you point to everyone, you cannot put the cold water into the hot. If it's a Kli Sheni, in terms of putting in the cold water into the hot, we said the Beit Hillel says that's fine, when it's a Kli Sheni and a Kos. By Ambati, by a Kli Rishon, it's not okay. But Rav Yosef comes along and says, that's only true by a Kli Sheni, that's also something that you do not heat up to a such a high temperature. Because if you did heat it up to a high temperature, then Beit Shammai is correct. And we should be gozer Kli Sheni atu Kli Rishon. And so therefore, the distinction that is being drawn between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is not absolute now, according to Beit Hillel. Kli Rishon, I agree with Beit Shammai. Kli Sheni, I disagree with Beit Shammai, but I don't disagree in all cases. I only disagree in a Kli Sheni like a Kos, where it's for drinking, where you're not going to heat it up to a very high temperature. On the other hand, if it's a Seifel, a bucket of water, which Rashi claims is used for Rechitza, is used for washing oneself, and you heat it up to a very high temperature, then that will not be permissible because it looks like a Kli Rishon. And they will agree with Beit Shammai, then in that case, you may not pour cold water into the hot water. And that's what it means, Rav Yosef says, a Seifel has the same din as an Ambati. Now, according to Rashi, that means that a Seifel, which is a Kli Sheni, a large quantity of water that's heated up very hot, has the same din as an Ambati, which is a Kli Rishon. According to Tosafot, that means that a Seifel, which is a Kli Sheni, is similar to an Ambati, which is also a Kli Sheni. But we already saw that according to Tosafot, that Kli Sheni, even Beit Hillel agrees you may not pour cold water into it because it's very hot and it's a large quantity. So that's the Havamina of Rav Yosef. On the other hand, Amar Abaye, Tani Rav Chia, Chia had a Braita, Seifel Eino Ke Ambati, that a Seifel does not have the same qualification as Ambati. If that's the case, That means the Beit Hillel, according to Rashi, always disagrees when it's a kli sheni, and you can put cold water into hot water. Whereas according to Tosafot, if it's a seifel or a kos, which are smaller items, then it'd be permissible according to Beit Hillel. But Beit Hillel by an ambati, by a large bath, which is a kli sheni, even Beit Hillel would agree that that kli sheni is impermissible. Now the Gemara asks, L'mai desalika dato? Based on the Havamina that Mi'ikara, the Seifel Haruk Mbati, that Rav Yosef thought that this bucket has the equivalent din of an Mbati, Vamar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman also said the Loch is like Rav Shimon ben Asya, which means, doesn't matter if you put cold into hot or hot into cold, it's impermissible. El B'Shabbat Rechitza B'Chamim Leka. In that case, you will never have the ability to wash with hot water on Shabbat. And we already know that hot water that was warmed up before Shabbat, one may use to wash his hands, feet, and face on Shabbat. And the assumption being that he wouldn't use it directly from a kli because the water would be too hot. So therefore, you'd have to mix it with cold water in order to utilize it. But the way we are setting up the braita now, and Yosef's understanding of that braita, it would be impossible. You have a bucket of water that's used for rechitza. How are you going to cool that water off? You can't pour cold into it, and you can't pour it into cold water because we paskin like Reb Shimon ben Asya. Therefore, how are we going to deal with this? So Gemara says, Misavart, Rabbi Shimon Aseifokoi, you think Rabbi Shimon's talking about the latter half of the Braita? Areshakoi, it's talking about the first half of the Braita. It says, Beit Hillel Matirim, Beit Hillel is Matir, by a kli sheni, Ben Chamim Latoch Tzonein, Ben Tzonein Latoch Chamim, Shimon Ben Asya, Ser Tzonein Latoch Chamim, and Rabbi Shimon Ben Asya says that that's not the case. It's only true that you can put hot into cold, you may not put cold into hot. If you're doing that, then Rabbi Shimon ben Asya turns out to be the same as Beit Shammai. That was the statement of Beit Shammai at the beginning of the Braita, which is that only hot into cold, not cold into hot. Beit Hillel argues. Now we're saying that Rabbi Shimon ben Asya argues in that position of Beit Hillel, which basically means that he's equivalent to Beit Shammai. Where it says, no, hachi kamar lo nechluku Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. Not that he subscribes to the position of Beit Shammai, but rather Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel do not argue about this issue. And that even Beit Hillel agrees, whether it's a kli rishon or whether it's a kli sheni, you only may put hot water into cold, but not cold water into hot. Now, Tosafot says that the Gemara here is only saying this in the Hava Mina. When Rav Yosef thought that a seifel equals an embati, a bucket equals a bath, then Rav Shimon ben Asya was addressing the first half of the Braita. But in the conclusion, where Abaye brings the Braita from Chia and says that a bucket is not like a bath, then we take Rabbi Shimon ben Asya back to the latter half of the Braita. And therefore it'll come out the halacha that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, like the Gemara says over here. And that we say that by a kli rishon, it's only hot into cold. By a kli sheni, like Beit Hillel says, we say that you can put hot into cold or cold into hot. That's as long as it's a kos, it's a small quantity. But on bati, a large bath, Beit Hillel said, you can put hot into cold, but not cold into hot. Along comes Rav Shimon ben Asya and says you can do neither. And that's the way we're going to pass on the halacha. So according to Tosafot, this establishment that Rav Shimon ben Asya only argues on the first half of the Braita, that's only in the Hava Mina. But once we come to the conclusion that Rav Yosef is not correct about Seifel equaling Ambati, then we go back to assuming that Rav Shimon ben Asya is on the latter half of the Braita, and then everything will work out, the halacha. Other Rishonim believe that Rav Shimon ben Asya, according to the conclusion, the Gemara is still arguing on the Reisha, and therefore it would come out that both Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, whether according to Beit Hillel, whether according to Beit Shammai, you're only allowed to place hot into cold, but not cold into hot. That is not the way that we pass on the halacha. Amar Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, Chazina Le Rava Dol Kapid Amano. I saw that Rava was not makpid. He wasn't careful about whether it was a kos or a seifel. The question whether the girsa of Amano belongs in here. But either way, it means the same thing, which is that he wasn't makpid on whether it was a kos or a seifel, a cup or a bucket. Meaning that he thought that the statement of Rav Chia that a seifel is not like an embati was correct, and that a seifel has the same din as a kos, meaning that size didn't matter as long as it was a kli sheni. He thought you could put cold into hot or hot into cold. What we had already concluded from Abaye's quoting of Rav Chia that a seifel does not have the same din as an embati. So Minitani Rav Chia noten adam kaiton shel mayim. Where does he know this from? Because of a braita Rav Chia, which says that a person can take a pitcher of water, toch seifel shamayim, into a bucket of water, ben chamim letoch tzoyein, ben tzoyein letoch chamim, whether it's hot into cold, or cold into hot. Now, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Huna Rav Ashi, Dilma Shani Hotam. Wait a minute, how do you know from that braita that you are correct? Braita says that a person can take a pitcher of water, and put it into a bucket of water. It sounds like you're inserting the actual pitcher into the bucket, that the water is still contained in its original vessel. And if that's the case, shani hotan de mifsa kli, that there is actually a separation between the hot and the cold water. If you take a bucket of hot water and then you take a pitcher of cold water and stick it in, the pitcher actually separates between the cold and hot water. And maybe that's why Rava allowed it. If you actually directly mix the hot water and cold water, maybe he would not permit it. So how can you bring a proof from this that Rava didn't consider any difference between a seifa and a kos? There's no proof from this braita, because this braita is talking about a different issue. Mar says, Amalei me'are itmar. That braita said that it poured. Not that he placed, but rather that he poured. The way to read it is, me'are adam kaiton shemayin letof seifa. Person can pour a pitcher of water into a bucket. Ben bechamim letof tzonein, ben tzonein letof chamim. Whether it's hot into cold, or cold into hot. And that would show us that he believed, like we saw from Abaye before, that a seifa, a bucket, does not have the same din as an embati, and that is safe on a coast are equal, and if they're a kalisheni, then going to Beit Hillel, you can pour hot into cold, or cold into hot. And even Rabbi Shimon Asi, who argues, only argues on embati, and therefore, the halacha, that will be the case, that one can pour hot water into cold, or cold water into hot, if you're dealing with a kalisheni that has a smaller quantity, like a coast or a seifa. Once you reach the size of embati, the size of a bath, then already we are gozer, according to Rashi, when it's a kli rishon, then Rabbi Shimon Asi says you can't put anything in there, cold into hot or hot into cold, and according to Tosafot, even when it's a kli sheni, one cannot put hot into cold or cold into hot, because it looks too much like a kli rishon. Next Mishnah, hayofis vakteira, the frying pan and the kteira hapat, shevirian rotchim. He took them off the fire. They were cooking on the fire, which is called a kli rishon shel gabei ha'esh, kli rishon that sits on the fire, and then he takes them off the fire. Then, lo yiten lo tochan tavlin. One may not put spices into that dish. That's a kli rishon, shusar min ha'esh, that was removed from the fire, and a kli rishon is mevashel. So one may not put spices into such a utensil. Aval notenu lo toch ha'ki'ara, o lo toch ha'tamchui. One may place those spices into the serving dish, into a bowl. So after you've taken out of the kli rishon, the ilfis or the kdeira, and now you remove the food and place it into a bowl for serving, that's already a kli sheni. The tamchui is just a larger serving dish. The bowl is an individual serving dish. The tamchui is a larger serving dish. Once you put it into the serving dish, and now it is already a kli sheni. Once it is a kli sheni, then kli sheni is einu bevashel. It doesn't cook. If it doesn't cook, then you can put spices into that kli sheni. That a person can put this into anything except something that has vinegar or brine in it, because that increases the intensity of the heat, and that will be problematic. What Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on in the mission is unclear, and that will be the first question of the Gemara. Now Tosafot over here brings down a machloket about what's called irui kli rishon. When someone pours liquid out of a kli rishon into a kli sheni, we've already established that there's a difference between a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Kli rishon was on the fire, and even after it's taken off the fire, the walls of the kli rishon are still hot, and the liquid inside is very hot, as long as it's above yad soledipo, and then it can cook an item. On the other hand, a kli sheni is einu mevashel, according to the Gemara, even, it seems, if it's above yad soledipo. Tosafot already explained that, because the walls of the kli sheni are cool. By the walls of the kli sheni being cool, then it does not allow it to cook. I was once told by a physicist that if you took an egg and placed it into a kli sheni, it would not be able to boil the egg. No matter how hot the water is coming from the kli rishon into the kli sheni, because the heat intensity cannot be maintained because of the cooler walls in the kli sheni, therefore it could never boil an egg in a kli sheni. That's basically what the Gemara is establishing. The kli rishon is mivashel. A kli sheni is not mivashel, irrespective of the heat of the item. In that yad soledipo is obviously the threshold for cooking. Anything above yad soledipo, no matter how hot the temperature is, kli rishon will be mevashel, kli sheni will not be mevashel, and as Tosafot already established, that has to do with the fact that the walls cool down the water. But there's also something in between, which is when you're pouring from the kli rishon into the kli sheni, that stream of water that's coming out of the kli rishon into the kli sheni, what is the status of that stream of water? So there is a machloket in the Balei Tosafot. Tosafot over here brings it as well, that whether it's classified as a kli rishon or a kli sheni. The Rashbam believes that it is a kli sheni. The water that's pouring, or the stream of water coming out of the kli rishon into the kli sheni, already has a qualification as a kli sheni. And the Ri believes that a irui pouring out of a kli rishon still has a status of a kli rishon. And obviously, this has major nafkaminot. If you're pouring out of a kli rishon hot liquid, if you're pouring it onto something, if you're pouring it onto a solid, will that cook or not cook? If you believe it's already considered to be a kli sheni, it will not cook like the Rashbam. On the other hand, the Riu believes that when you're pouring hot water out of a kli rishon, it has a status like a kli rishon, it will cook. And that will have a huge nafkamino, lalacha, in terms of pouring hot water into something else. Tosafot over here takes a third position. And he says that, truthfully, it's not a kli rishon, it's not a kli sheni. That when you pour out of a kli rishon, the liquid that is coming out, or the stream of liquid that's coming out, will cook, but it will only cook kedei klipa. The outer edge or the outer skin of whatever item it is, it will cook. So based on that, it's only partially cooks. Now this has a major nafkamina lalacha and lalacha lamaisa, which means that if you are pouring out of a kli rishon onto an object, if that object is not mivushal, it's not cooked, then it will cook the outer edge, and no problem of bishul on Shabbat. On the other hand, if for whatever reason the outer edge is not cookable, then whatever item is inside is fine. This comes up, for instance, with baby bottles. Baby bottles have milk inside, and you want to warm up the milk for the baby. So if you want to do this, you could actually take a kli rishon, hot water, and pour it directly onto the baby bottle, because kli rishon that you're pouring, that water, the stream that's coming out, is a irui kli rishon. According to Tosafot, it's only mevashel kiklipa. It's only mevashel the outer edge. Well, the outer edge of the baby bottle is the bottle itself, and that doesn't cook. And the milk on the inside is fine then because it doesn't cook the inside. And therefore it would be permitted on Shabbat to pour from a kli rishon hot water onto a baby bottle or any other item, again, where the outer shell does not cook and the inside then gets warmed up by it. And so it does have an afkamin alocha, and that's why Tosafot paskins and we pass on alocha that irui kli rishon, a stream of water coming out of a kli rishon, is not a kli rishon, it's not a kli sheni, but it's mevashel kiklipa, it cooks the outer edge of the item. All right, now the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that you can put everything into what you want, except vinegar and brine, is he addressing the first half of the Mishnah or the second half of the Mishnah? Meaning that the first half of the Mishnah says you may not put spices into a kli rishon. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying you may put it into a kli rishon, as long as that kli rishon does not contain vinegar or brine. Or is he addressing the second half of the Mishnah? The second half of the Mishnah said that if it's a kli sheni, you can put spices into it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you may not put spices into a kli sheni if it contains vinegar or fish brine. The Gemara says, Tashma, the Tanya, we have a bright there. Yehuda omer, the chol ilpsin hu notein, the chol gderot rot chot hu notein. You can put spices into any frying pan, a kli rishon, or into any pot, which is boiling, a kli rishon, chutz midavar sheish b'chol mitzvitzir, except for something that has vinegar or fish brine in it. So that means Rabbi Yehuda is addressing the resha, and he's saying that even into a kli rishon, one can put spices as long as it doesn't contain vinegar or brine in it, which increases the intensity of the heat so high that it would cook. Otherwise, tavlin are not cooked by a kli rishon, and one can place them into a kli rishon. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda is addressing the resha, and he is lekula. Sabar Rabbi Yosef lemeimar. Rabbi Yosef thought to say, melach harihu ketavlin. Salt has the same din as spices. That means that you cannot salt or put salt into a kli rishon, but you may put salt into a kli sheni. Why? The kli rishon bashla. A kli rishon cooks. Ubiki sheni lo bashla. And a kli sheni will not cook. Amale abaye, tani rabbi chia. We have a brayta from chia. Melach ena ketavlin. That salt does not have the same status as spices. The kli sheni nami bashla. Because even in a kli sheni, salt does cook. Upligi the Rav Nachman. That argues on Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman sricha milcha bishula kebisra de Torah. That salt needs to be cooked like the meat of a shore, the meat of an ox, which is very hard and requires heavy-duty cooking in order to cook it. And therefore, Rav Nachman believes it's very hard to cook salt. And if that's the case, certainly you could put it into a kli sheni, maybe even into a kli rishon. And Rav Yosef is suggesting, based on the Braita of Rav Chiya that says salt is not like spices, and therefore Abaye is suggesting that based on the Braita of Rav Chiya, that salt may not even be cooked in a kli sheni. It's not permissible to even put salt into a kli sheni. So now we have an ikadamre. We have a second lashon, which is Sever Yosef Lemar Melach Harehu Ketavlin. Salt is like spices. The kli rishon bashla, kli sheni lo bashla. In a kli rishon it does cook, in a kli sheni it does not cook. Amale baye tani Reb Chiya Melach Eina Ketavlin. Salt is not like spices. The kli rishon nami lo bashla. That even in a kli rishon it doesn't cook. I know the Rav Nachman, and that agrees with Rav Nachman. Tzricha milcha bishula kebisra de Torah. That in order to cook salt, it needs super duper cooking, and therefore it doesn't get cooked. It's almost impossible to cook salt. And that's the case. You can even put salt into a kli rishon. So now Tosafot brings down, how do we pass the halacha? So he brings down principles that are used by different rishonim. He says Rashi's principle is, the pligi beshel Torah, whenever you have two lishonot, that argue in a Torah din, halacha achara machmir, then you go after the more stringent view. Ubishel sofrim, and when it comes to a din derabbanon, then we go after achara acharon, after the latter of the two lishonot. So over here we have two lishonot in the Gemara, so how would we paskin? So Rashi tells us, if it's a din d'oraita, we go after whichever one is stringent. On the other hand, if it was a din d'rabbanan, we'd always follow the latter of the two lishonot. The Rabbeinu Tam believes, like Rashi, when it's a din d'oraita, we go to hachmir, but if it's a din d'rabbanan, then we go to kula, irrespective of which lashon is rishon or sheni. And there's a third position of the Riva who believes that the first lashon is always the primary lashon. The Gedamri is always secondary, therefore we're going to opt to paskin like the first lashon. Therefore, according to all of these three principles laid out by these different rishonim, actually the Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, in our situation over here, we would paskin like the first lashon. First of all, according to Riva, the first lashon is primary, so we'd paskin like it. According to Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, we're dealing here with the din d'oraita of Bishul and Shabbat. If that's the case, we should paskin l'hachmir. L'hachmir is the first lashon here, which says that salt is not like spices. It's not like spices that even in a kli sheni, one would not be permitted to put salt in it. Nevertheless, Tosfot says that he thinks over here that the halacha is kalishna batro. The halacha is like the second lashon. The lishna kama palig abibraita de Rabbi Chiya ad Rav Nachman. Because in the first lashon, if you leave it that way, it turns out that the way we establish the braita Rabbi Chiya, now we'll argue on the position of Rav Nachman. And the second lashon reconciles between the braita and Rav Nachman. So we'd much rather pick the second lashon, which doesn't have a stira between Rav Nachman and the Braita, than the first one that does have that stira. And there where Tosafot says that the halacha is kedalishna batra over here, and that's the way that we paskin la halacha, that salt is not like spices, and that even in a kli rishon it's not mevashel. But Tosafot then puts a little line at the end, which we also subscribe to, which is that if someone is makpid not to put salt into an item that a kli rishon that is yad saledibo, tavola bracha. That's a good thing to do. It's something that's appropriate. Don't put salt into a kli rishon that is yad saledibo. Rather, you should only put it into either a kli sheni or a kli rishon that's below yad saledibo. Even though technically midoraita is mutar, it's choshesh a little bit that salt shouldn't be different than spices, and therefore you should only do it into a kli sheni, not into a kli rishon. So now, just for a summary, with regards to what we've seen in terms of bishul on Shabbat, we've established now that a kli rishon is mivashel. As long as it's above yad saledibo, as long as it's above the temperature of yad saledibo, it is mivashel on Shabbat. And an item that was not cooked, that is placed into it, or liquids that are not cooked, that are placed into it, that will be a violation of bishul on Shabbat. On the other hand, we saw that a kli sheni is not mivashel, a kli sheni cannot cook, and Tosafot established the reason that that is because the walls cool down the water, meaning that even if it's above yad saledibo, it still cannot cook the item, because the walls will cool it down, and will not sustain the heat that it needs. This, for instance, has an afkamin in terms of ladles, ladling soup out. The soup, which isn't a kli rishon, taking a ladle out of and ladling out the soup, is the ladle considered to be a kli sheni? And the bowl that you have considered to be a kli shlishi? Well, that depends. If you think the reason that a kli sheni does not cook here is like Tosafot, because the walls cool it down, then it may change the status depending if the ladle now heats up. If you leave the ladle in the soup, the walls of the ladle now get hot, and therefore will not have a status of a kli sheni. And therefore, when you pour it into the bowl, that will be a kli sheni. On the other hand, if the ladle walls remain cool, then when you take it out of the soup pot that was on the fire, that will become the kli sheni, and the bowl that you have it in will become a kli shlishi. So there is an afkamina about this idea of the walls cooling it down with regards to items that are left in the pot that was on the fire. Because if their walls also heat up now, they will no longer serve as a kli sheni. So that's one afkamina. So therefore, if a person is makpid in order to ensure that the soup bowl that they eat from is a kli shlishi, again, that's a discussion in the poskim, whether kli shlishi matters or makes any difference. But if this kli shlishi helps in terms of allowing you to put items into it instead of a kli sheni, then it will make a difference as to whether the ladle sits in the soup and then the walls are heated and it's no longer making it into a kli sheni, or whether the ladle is outside of the soup pot and therefore the walls remain cool and therefore you can dispense the soup from there into the bowl and the bowl will be classified as a kli shlishi. We also saw that when you pour from a kli rishon into a kli sheni, irui kli rishon, it's machloket rishonim, whether that's considered to be kli rishon kli sheni, we saw the conclusion of Tosafot that it's mevashel ke klipa, that it does cook, but only cooks the outer edge of the item. We saw from that nafkaminot about items that are encased in a, for instance, baby's milk in a bottle, where you could do it because the mevashel ke klipa would be the outer walls of the bottle, which would not cook, and therefore that would be permitted to pour from a kli rishon onto the bottle. The other thing one might have to be careful about then is if one has had a bowl of soup, and then after they finish the bowl of soup, they want to go now and put more soup into that bowl. Well, the soup that you're bringing into there, if you're pouring it straight out of the pot on the fire, that's a kli rishon. That's an Iroi Gli Rishon, which is Mevashel Kukipa. It could be Mevashel, the residual soup that's in your bowl. So then it's important then to maybe use a ladle or something that cools it down. So that's a Kli Sheni, and that what's going into the bowl is then a Kli Shlishi. Over there, we would assume that it does not cook that which is left in the soup bowl. Or on the other hand, maybe we say that that which is in the soup bowl is de minimis. There's not enough there, and therefore there's really no cooking that's taking place because there's so little. Or that's what's left in the soup bowl has not cooled down yet to room temperature, so it's still considered to be a liquid that is mivushal, and therefore pouring hot water on it will not cook it. Those are different ways to deal with some of these issues. And again, a summary of what we've seen so far in terms of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. La halacha, what actually happens here is that the Gemara is going to say that there's certain things called kalei abishul, things that cook easily, that even cook in a Kli Sheni. We're not exactly sure what those items are. And since we're not sure what those items are, we are makpid or careful not even put things into a Kli Sheni for fear of it being one of these kalei abishul, one of these things that cook easily, even in a Kli Sheni. And so la halacha today, that influences us in terms of Kli Sheni, what we do put into a Kli Sheni, because we're worried or about something that's not, is one of the Kli Abishul, and then it could be Nitbashel in the Kli. Right? That we'll get to when we reach the discussion of the Kli Abishul. But just so you know that the Halacha, even though we've discussed all the items here, there's still one more factor that will impact in terms of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Now the next Mishnah moves on, and now we're back to the Dinim of Muksa. It says, Ein notnim Kli tachad haner lekabel et ha-shemen. One may not place a utensil under the lamp in order to catch the shemen, the oil that drips out of it. But if you do it before Shabbat, that is permissible. And one may not use the shemen that falls into this utensil on Shabbat because it's not prepared, meaning it's muksa. And now Tosafot says that this is even according to Rabbi Shimon. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, it says that generally there's no muksa on Shabbat. He does believe that something called muksa maksa mitzvato. It's something that is done for a mitzvah designated for the item to be used, for instance, Neirot Shabbat, and therefore, when the oil drips out of the lamp, you do not have in mind to use that oil on Shabbat, and even according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be considered to be mukse. Now, what is the problem of actually putting the Kli on Shabbat underneath the lamp to catch the oil? There's one of two possibilities as to what the problem is. Rashi says, either it's according to the Mandamar that says that a Kli can only be taken for its primary purpose on Shabbat, and the Kli, a bowl's primary purpose is not to catch oil from a lamp. It's used for eating from. And therefore, that's a problem of mukse. Or the other problem is something called what's called mevatel Kli mehechano, that you are now ruining the Kli from its primary purpose. That is, that until now, you could use this bowl for whatever you wanted. On the other hand, once the oil falls into and it's mukse, that bowl, now you cannot move. You can't move the bowl because there's mukse in it. So now you've changed the status of this bowl. It was had utility beforehand, and now you're removing its utility. And Rashi claims over here, it's the equivalent of bonen. It's the equivalent of building on Shabbat, or looks like building on Shabbat, because now you've basically frozen that bowl in place. You can no longer move the bowl anymore, as if you've cemented the bowl in place. That's the way he describes it here. Later on in the Masechta, Rashi talks about mevatel kli meyechano, and says just the opposite, it's like soter. It's like undermining or destroying or deconstructing something, because the kli had utility beforehand. And now you've taken away that utility. So it's either bone or soter, not actually, but looks like bone and soter. And therefore, one may not be mevatel kli meyechano on Shabbat. One may not take a utensil that has utility on Shabbat and remove that utility. Putting muksa into an item on Shabbat removes the utility of the utensil, and that is not permitted on Shabbat. Now, Amar Rav Chista, afal pi shamru ein notnim kli tachad ha-tarnagolet. Even though we said you're not allowed to put a bowl underneath the chicken that's laying an egg, the kabel beitzata, to catch the egg, of a kofe alei kli. And then if it's already laid an egg, you can turn a bowl upside down and cover it, shloti shaber, so that somebody doesn't step on it, or the animals don't step on it and break it. So what is the difference? And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. We'll get to Rabba's reasoning today, and Rav Yosef's tomorrow. Why is it different between having the egg actually go into the bowl, which is not permitted according to Rav Chista, versus covering the egg with the bowl? Now Rav Chista learned this out from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you can't put a bowl underneath the lamp to capture the oil. So that would be the same thing here. You can't put the bowl under the chicken to capture the egg, implying that if you didn't catch the egg, you covered the egg, that would be permissible. So Amar Rabba, my time mo de Rav Chista. What is the reasoning behind Rav Chista? Gokasavar tanagolet asuya lahatil beitzata ba'ashpa. Generally, chickens give birth to their eggs in the dump or somewhere where it's soft. But they don't usually lay eggs on an incline or a decline. So therefore, something that is considered to be a regular occurrence on Shabbat, the Chachamim said, there you can save or protect the egg. But something that is not considered to be a normal way, a normal case, then they would not allow this on Shabbat. So as Rashi points out over here, that even though the beitza is davar she'enu nital b'Shabbat, the egg is something that may not be carried on Shabbat, it's mukse on Shabbat. So therefore, if it's something that is commonly happens on Shabbat, then a person basically has in mind to deal with this on Shabbat, and therefore he'll use the bowl to cover the egg, because that's a normal utilization. On the other hand, if you put the bowl under the chicken to catch the egg, well, catching the egg you'd only do if it was on a decline or incline, you don't want the egg to roll down and break. That is not a normal occurrence. Since it's not a normal occurrence, that's not something you had in mind to utilize this kli for. So that's the case, you may not do it on Shabbat. The Gemara says, Abaye says, is that really true? When it's an uncommon occurrence, we didn't allow you to take care of it on Shabbat. Vatanya, we have a braita. Nishpara lo chavit shel tevel berosh gogo. He has tevel on his roof, a barrel full of tevel that breaks on his roof. Evikli, he can bring your utensil meniach tachtecha, and he can catch the liquid that comes out of it. Now that's an unusual circumstance that you have a barrel or some containment utensil that bursts, and then what's coming out of it, you're allowed to capture. So here it's hatzala she'ene mitzuya. It's an uncommon occurrence, and we do let you capture the item that is coming out of it. Now Rashi claims over here, and that's the gusa that we have, that we're talking about tevel over here. We're talking about tevel, which is not usable on Shabbat, because you can't eat it, and you can't be mitakin, you can't take up chumot to maserot on Shabbat. And again, the problem here is that it's like a beitza, it's something that's mukse, and despite the fact that it's mukse, we allow you to capture it on Shabbat. So the Gemara answer is, b'chufei chadate, we're talking about new barrels. New barrels are more likely to burst because they haven't been tested yet, and therefore, the shkike de pake, and that's normal. So therefore, it is something that's a common occurrence. And therefore, Chazal allowed us to save the materials inside because that's something that would be in consideration before Shabbat. The person can put a utensil underneath the lamp to catch the sparks that come out. So the Gemara says, that's true. Even sparks coming out of a lamp, that's normal. And therefore, again, you can carry the kli in order to utilize it for this matter, because it is a hatzala mutsuya, something that is common occurrence. One can turn a utensil upside down to stop a candle from causing a fire to the ceiling, the catching on the ceiling. So you put some sort of cover on top, some sort of kli that you hang over it, in order that it will not now catch fire onto the roof beams. So Gemara says, Bebate gechine deshkiach, behu deleiko. It's in a low house, a house that does not have a high ceiling, but it's very common for there to be a fire because the candles catch the roof. And therefore it is etzala mitzuya. It is a common occurrence. And we therefore Chazal gave a dispensation to use the kelim in that case. Or if a roof beam that broke, you can hold it in place with a bench, or with the bedboards. Mara says, again, how could you do this? Here it's a hatzala. You're taking a kli that's utilized on Shabbat, a bench or a bed which you can use on Shabbat and move them around. And now you're putting it into a position where they won't be able to move anymore to stop the house from collapsing or stop the roof from collapsing. Gemara says again, we're talking about new roof beams which have yet to be tested. And since they've yet to be tested, it's many cases when they put the plaster on top of the roof beams, they collapsed. And only afterwards they knew whether they could use those beams or bring in new beams. Gemara says, one can put a utensil under a drip on Shabbat. So if you can put a utensil under a drip on Shabbat, the water that's coming in is mukse, and here we are allowed to carry the kli to take care of the delif, the drip that's coming in. Gemara says, we're talking about a new house where it's common to have leaks, because they haven't fixed everything yet, they haven't fixed everything, put everything in place, and so they don't know that it'll leak, and once it leaks, then they can fix it. So this is a common occurrence in a new house. So Rabba's explanation over Fiste is that when there is hatzala mitzuya, when it's something that's a common occurrence, we allow you to carry a kli and utilize the kli to save or protect whatever is there, even though it might involve, what Rashi says is tiltul, that it involves something that you cannot carry on Shabbat, whether it's a beitza, whether it's the tevel. Nevertheless, Chazal gave a dispensation where it's hatzala mitzuya, not in a case where it's hatzala sheni mitzuya, not in a case where it's an uncommon occurrence. Tosafot here disagrees with Rashi, and one of the main issues he has is with this tevel. He thinks that the tevel over here is not part of the girsa, and we're not talking about something that is mukse. And he disagrees with Rashi. He says the issue here has nothing to do with mukse, it has to do with a din called tircha. So again, we'll get to later in the Masechta, which is that on Shabbat, Chazal restricted us from taking unnecessary exertion or extra work on Shabbat. Not work in the sense of malacha, on a violation of Shabbat, but exerting oneself too much on Shabbat where it's going to ruin the spirit of Shabbat. It's tircha, it's too much effort. And therefore, Tosafot over here says that Chazal said, when it involves a tircha she'en atzricha, an effort that's unnecessary, or tircha that is not mitzuyah, it's not common, they won't allow you to do that on Shabbat. So again, here, where the fact that an egg will roll down on an incline, that's a very uncommon occurrence. Therefore, they do not permit you to make the exertion or effort to take care of it. On the other hand, that's something that is a common occurrence, Chazal allowed us the dispensation to make a tircha, because we assume that it's going to happen, and since it's going to happen, as I said, in that case, it's considered to be a tircha that is normal exertion and normal effort, because these are common occurrences. And Tosafot does point out that in our Mishnah, where it says you're not allowed to put the kli underneath the lamp in order to catch the oil, even though that's a davar mitzuyah, that lamps leak oil is very common. How come, according to Rabbo, then you can't do this? He says the answer is, it's very interesting, he says it's very common to put a kli before Shabbat to capture the oil. That's what's common. It's not common to put a kli on Shabbat to capture the oil, because you put it there from the start that it's lit. And that's why it's considered to atzala any mitzuyah on Shabbat, because most people would put it there before Shabbat. On the other hand, by sparks, which, even though they are common, they're not very common. Some people will not put a kli there before Shabbat, because they don't always worry about sparks coming out. And therefore, since it's somewhat common, but not all the time, it would be considered to be atzala mitzuyah when you put the utensil there to capture the sparks, even on Shabbat. Okay, we'll stop over here.